As we continue in our time of worship this morning, turn with me again to James, the book of James, chapter 1. We'll be looking at verses 19 through 27 this morning, the book of James, chapter 1, verses 19 through 27. How many times during the day do you often stop and ask yourself, what's next? What am I supposed to do with what's before me? How many times do you ask yourself, during that latest crisis or the struggle or a broken relationship or one issue or another, what am I to do now? How many times do we even stop and ask ourselves, what should I do? You know, we have that issue. We have a hard time taking or seeking help, seeking guidance. And yet the wise among us will stop long enough to say, what do I do next? And if you've got that next in front of you, how do I accomplish that next? The wise will go to someone who's already had that issue and seek guidance. And I guess I should say probably the humble, because as people, we don't like to admit that we don't know something. It gives us all kinds of consternation in our day when we think about what's next or how to accomplish what's next, because sometimes we just don't know, and we don't want to admit it. But that's the issue that we often run into. Now, James is writing to the scattered peoples throughout that had been run out of Jerusalem because of the persecution, and he recognizes that there may not be enough wise people in that scattered group to go around. And he also recognizes that just like all people, they won't necessarily ask for help. He hadn't received any letter saying, what do you think, James? But instead of waiting for them, just like God, to seek help, he sends help to the church then and the church today. Now, you remember the first 18 verses. He told us concerning trials to count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you meet trials of various kinds. And then he said, let steadfastness have its full effect, or perseverance. Basically telling us that trials will come into our lives. In fact, God is the one who brings those trials for his glory and our maturity. Paul reminds us later that there's things for us to do in the midst of this. He says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling, which is the equivalent of let your steadfastness have its full effect. And then he talks to us about wisdom. Wisdom, if anyone lacks wisdom, as we saw by asking that question, he recognizes that we do. Let him ask God, but let him ask God in faith without doubting. Times will be hard and we will struggle. But remember this commandment. Let the lowly brother boast in his exaltation, in his high position. Do we know who we are? Do we know who we belong to? Remember that and boast in Christ, as Paul will say later. Rather than getting caught up in our weaknesses, getting caught up in the things we don't know, boast in what you know. Just these few 18 verses, James has been pointing out God's revealed will. There are things you know, we know. And we're to live in that light of that. We're not to blame God, and we're not to be deceived. You know, that's the other thing we know. We know the difference between good gifts, those are gifts that God gives us that bring him glory, and the ones that we like a lot that don't. We know the difference. And James tells us, do not be deceived. The good gifts come from God, and they bring him glory. The good gifts. These commandments that he gives us as well, that allow us to know what to do and how to live before God and man. And this morning, of course, he's going to kind of wrap that up with a little bit of pounding on table, if you will, to say this is the reason why you can do all this if you're doers of the word. So read with me verses 19 through 27 of chapter 1 in the book of James. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. He looks at it himself and goes away and once again, at once, forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Pray with me. Again, Father, to know these things, to do these things, we must be doers of the word. And we're grateful that your Spirit illuminates us and guides and directs us in such cause. And so this morning we thank you for your presence with us, enabling us to understand. In Jesus' name, amen. I don't know about you, but James is probably one of the clearest books there is. So clear that it confused some of our early church fathers as to whether it even should be in the Bible or not for some reason. But James is so clear with his desire to help the people. His commands especially are clear. But they're hard because most of them are somewhat counterintuitive. They go against our fallen nature, and they certainly go against the cultural norm that we surround ourselves with. But of course, his brother, Jesus, did the same thing over and over again. So the first thing we see here, James is trying to help us understand why life gets confusing and we become angry. And he'll deal with that later in the book as well, in verses 19 through 21. Then he directs us to the remedy for all of that struggle in verses 22 through 25, being doers of the word. Then lastly, he tells us how doing the word can be manifested in our day today, in verses 26 through 27. Once again, James speaks of common issues that arise among all people. His first command deals with the struggle that we have when we're confused and then we get angry with that around us. His first command is really kind of a maxim for us. We've all know this. We've all heard this at one time or another. Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. He gives us this first command. Understand this, my brothers. Every person should be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. In most cases, this requires us to stop, to take time, to pray, to discern, to use godly wisdom, which James has already said, if you lack wisdom, knowing that we do, ask God. Otherwise, we just simply react. Immediate reaction is always weakens our position because of our anger. And again, if you think this doesn't characterize you, doesn't in any way define who you are, again, who's James talking to? He's talking to the whole church. He's talking to all of us. We all have a problem with being too quick to answer, too quick to respond, too quick to react. And then we get angry when people don't listen. And the great thing that he points out to us here is that our anger does not equate to God's righteousness in any way, shape, or form. Of course, man's anger in this text refers to human impulsiveness, self-centeredness. It's on display. It doesn't mark a person who is self-controlled. It marks the opposite. Marks one who is out of control in many ways. The Christian should be manifested with these three qualities: quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. This type of anger seldom, if ever, brings about a positive end. One author put it this way: human efforts apart from God's guidance fail to achieve divine purposes. In other words, there's no place for anger if we're seeking God's purpose. If we're not aligned with or in harmony with His commandments to reflect His character, we instead produce all the things, or at least a couple of things, that He's going to talk about here in our text. He tells us that we are to put away or get rid of. It says filthiness. The Greek word here means moral filth. And every expression of evil. And then he says, humbly receive the word planted in you, which can save your souls. Think of Jesus' own words on this matter. Whatever comes out of your mouth proceeds from the heart. That all sounds really good until you get to the last part of that sentence. This defiles a man. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, falseness, slander. These are what defiles a person. That's what James is telling us here. Put those things away. Get rid of them. And we've heard that, whether it's Paul or Peter or James or Jesus, how these affect our thinking. Which takes time, again, to be able to stop long enough to put all that stuff away or to take it off, as the author of Hebrews says. In our day and age, where everything needs to be done now and dealt with now, how many of us stop long enough to think through all of that? That's what James is saying. Stop. Remember what he said about temptation last week. Every person is tempted when he is lured by his own desire. It's that desire, our desire, that gets us in trouble. Even the desire to be right. If we react. Because it's not what God desires, is what James is saying. We get confused and angry when we seek to go it on our own, but we get confused and angry when people don't listen to us. We get confused and angry, and we decide we must be heard. We must be right. We must teach others what's right, because obviously God's not taking the time with them at that moment. Oh, you say, well, that's a little bit of a hyperbole on your part. Well, yeah, sure it is. But I know myself. I know I've been there. And if James is telling this to the church, he knows we've all been there. So he says, be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. The command is clear. Quick to listen. Listen well to others. So well that you could almost repeat word for word what they're saying back to you. It's a real simple word in the Greek, really. Slow to speak. It takes courage sometimes, maybe most of the time, I think, not to react and speak just because you can. Men especially see this as a duty. Well, sometimes the greater duty is silence. Slow to anger. Well, James has already told us the problem with getting angry. it does not produce the righteousness of God. James is trying to help these people. He's trying to help us. He's trying to help us understand that we don't have to make things as hard as they are. There's ways to back up and then proceed. We make things too hard with our words and our desires and our preferences rather than dealing with the commandments and the commitments of God first and foremost. James is trying to say to his people, I know there may not be any leaders amongst you other than one another, but hear the word of God. Especially in another culture, a non-believing culture, slow to speak, quick to listen, slow to anger. Because you think about it, if you're in a pagan culture, what do pagans do? They do pagan things, which irritate the heebie-jeebies out of us. And yet at the same time, it's like a tiger eating meat. They're going to eat meat, not going to eat leaves. It's all part and parcel with us to receive humbly the word planted in us. Great thing about the Spirit is he's come along and come into us and filled us. We can now understand the word, and this word is clear. Understand that word that's planted within us. Be submissive, open to God's instruction, knowing if you don't have all the answers, God gives grace to the humble. And in that grace, we're able to grow and be fruitful, bringing God glory, not ourselves. When we think too highly of ourselves, we will fall. As I said before, how quickly it is we react when we're called out by others for our behavior that's less than acceptable as Christians. But the question is still a valid one as to how we do this. He says he commands us to know this, but how do we do it? To be quick to listen, to slow to speak, and slow to anger. He's not talking about us being less zealous for the faith. He's not talking about being us less zealous for the Lord. He is talking about our zeal matching up to the Lord's zeal, not ours, to be sure. But all of that is only happening because we are being doers of the word, verses 22 through 24. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For anyone who is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. Now, I think this is one of the clearest passages in James. It's kind of hard to not know and follow his thought here. But some might say, well, this is all well and good, but where do I start? Well, again, what were the first 18 verses for? Where do I start? What do I do? Well, what were the first 18 verses for? Let's try working on those and see how much time you got left at the end of the day. How many of you in here I'm not going to ask you for hands. If you have a more quiet time, you read the word, you meditate on the word, you pray over the word, do you ever take the time at the end of the day to ask yourself, how is that word from the morning affected me throughout my day? Have you ever taken the time to evaluate that? Have you, at the end of the day, can you even remember what it was you read in the morning? Maybe some of us by noon, we've forgotten what that was all about. But having that evaluation of how the word affects us, how has that changed your life on a day-to-day basis? He gave us these commands. He says to be doers of this word. Don't know what to do? Turn over to James. Don't know what to do? Turn to John. The scriptures are full of what we're to do next and what we're to do well to bring him glory and honor. Be doers of the word, he says, not hearers only, deceiving ourselves. How many times does he have to use that word? Deceiving ourselves. We'll see it a lot in his book. Because we do. when he commands the people to do this, he's setting a baseline for us from verses 1 through 18. He's already set a baseline for us. For what James speaks of is all based in our experience on a day-to-day basis. We all know simply hearing someone speak doesn't really add much to the big picture. You know, we all know that if you don't learn something from what they've gone, it's you've kind of wasted your time listening to whoever was talking. It's like going to church and sitting on the sermon, singing, praying, and receiving the sacraments. And then doing what I used to do when I used to sit out there, you know, after the sermon was over, you'd stand there and shake hands with the pastor and say, "Great sermon, Pastor." And he would usually say, "Thank you, praise the Lord," or something like that. But occasionally, he would ask this question: "What did you learn from the sermon?" Shock and awe. Because on any given Sunday, I may have fallen asleep during the sermon. On any given Sunday, I zoned out halfway through. Nothing worse than to have the preacher ask that question and you can't come up with anything. Thankfully, in most cases, the Spirit helped me out and gave me at least one thing. But there were times that he didn't. And that's part of what we struggle with. After you've been sitting for over an hour, it's easy to not pay attention. And yet we're to be doers of the word, to listen and to do stuff about it. I don't know how many times I've heard, but I was in church. Doesn't that count for something? The only people I've ever given a pass that have fallen asleep at church were the farmers that were in my church in Illinois. I figured God's going to let them have it by osmosis, because you stop a farmer for longer than 15 minutes who works 12, 14, 16 hours a day, you know, there's going to be some of that sleeping thing. Otherwise, we go round and round. But active obedience to God's word promises maturity. The Greek word here for doer is someone that is continual, habitually, and regularly active doing the word of God. Not a one and done. Our faith is based on doing, manifesting what we have heard, what we have read, what we've sung about, what we've prayed about, what the Spirit has led us to. That's how our faith manifests it on a daily basis. Of course, that goes along with the illustration here, isn't it? Looks like, you know, this man is looking intently into a mirror and then goes away and then can't tell you anything particular about his face. Now, this is not a cursory look into the mirror like I do in the morning. I don't want to look any longer than I have to. This is like him taking his face and straightening out all of his wrinkles and looking at all the freckles and all the warts and all of that intently. And then he walks away and somebody says, "Well, what's that on your face?" And he says, "I don't know." That illustration's with us all the time because we don't pay attention half the time. Now, this is hyperbole on one hand, but on the other, it happens to us on any given Sunday or when we're listening to our spouse. It just does. We deceive ourselves if we are hearers only. The Greek word for deceiving ourselves is purposely having and holding on to false reasoning or false miscalculations. If we truly examined ourselves, we wouldn't be confused and angry. Oh, and by the way, that's a commandment. Paul says, examine yourselves to see whether you are even in the faith. Test yourself. Or do you not realize that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless, of course, you indeed fail the test. Sometimes Paul seems harsh. Some people can listen to James and think that he's pointing a finger. And it's all because he loves us that he points these things out to us. James makes himself clear. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, the one who looks intently into the perfect law and the law of liberty, perseveres and perseveres, being no hearer, but a doer who acts, he will be the one that is blessed. Closely examining the gospel is what's being called about here and what the gospel does in our lives. Paul reminded us, for I'm not ashamed of the gospel. And I think that's part of the problem when we're talking to one-on-one with folks. Sometimes I think we're ashamed that we're Christians. We forget that it's the power of the gospel to salvation, to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and to the Greek. So examining ourselves is crucial. Where do we place the gospel in our life? How do we live out that gospel in our life? Are we doers of the word rather than hearers only? Lastly, James tells us how that all manifests itself in verses 26 through 27. If anyone thinks he's religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion is a pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. We must remember that godly wisdom always concludes with what is good for those around us. The aim is to never to seek our own self-representation or our own expectations. The aim is to seek the good of others, to build them up, to encourage others in their growth. Not controlling our tongue hurts everyone around us. James is a master of brevity of what he says here in these two verses. How many people have you known in the church that take great delight in letting you know everything that they know about everything at one setting? How many people have we lived with in our life that knew everything about the law and life and made sure we knew that they know all of that? According to James, they deceive themselves in that. This is the one who's convinced he knows more than the leadership. He's the one that's convinced that he knows more than everyone around him. James is saying, take heart. It's your job to be quick to listen, slow to speak, and not get angry, slow to anger. We think of Judaizers when we think of this, and we always have lots to say about the Judaizers. We must think of our own hearts as well. He says a religion that is pure and undefiled is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. Does that mean we all retire and go to the nursing homes or to the kids' homes? Nothing wrong with that. But what are we talking about here? We're talking about service, placing others first, putting the needs of others first, and seeking with all of our might, as he said earlier, to stay unstained by the world. Now, that's a hard thing in this world that's full of stains, that's full of one evil after another. It's hard to even not give our opinion of things rather than the gospel. We live in this world that provokes us, that tempts us. But remember what James said last time. The only reason we're tempted is because of our own desires. That's why he tells us to be doers of the word, recognizing that it's doing what God says that enables us to be the servants we're called to be the witness that we're called to be the leaders that we're called to be, whether it's in our homes or in the church. But it's only by being doers of the word that that can happen. He defines pure and undefiled, keeping yourself unstained. Those things are crucial for us. That is doing his will. And it is really that simple. And at the same time, that hard. Putting Jesus first, walking in his steps, which are more often than not filled with trials and suffering. That our faith is manifested in the works that we do. It's more important for us to seek God's well done than the attaboys from those around us. Now, James has laid out this chapter for us. He's laid out for some of the things that we need to be doing. He's also answered our questions of why and how we are to do this. And we are to use God's revealed will for that purpose. And it's a great thing for the Spirit, because the Spirit enables us to know what God's revealed will is. He has told us to be slow to listen, slow to speak, and slow to angry. He's told us about the need to bridle our tongues, for if we can't bridle our tongues, our religion is useless. He suggested that we deceive ourselves when we don't do these things. If we're not doers of the word, we are hearers only. So the simple truth is this: just be doers of the word. Pray with me. Father, this morning as we come together, we hear your word. We hear what you're saying to us, and we pray your Spirit would move and direct and guide us, that we would be more and more doers of this word. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.